Welcome to Time Management Bonus Session Number 3, attached to the resource Time Management for Busy Pastors. And we really want to look at one particular principle or practice that we talked about. I believe it was practice number 7 in the resource, and it's automate as much as possible.
This bonus session is called The Power of Automation.
Wow, that sounds a little intimidating, Nelson.
It is. We mentioned this back in practice number 7 where we said automate as much as possible. But we just want to drill down on this one just a little bit more for pastors, because we believe that over the long haul, over several months or even several years, this can actually be one of the most powerful time management practices that any pastor can develop. Because we do similar things over and over and over in ministry and in our personal life. And so let's just go back to the practice. And in the particular practice, I gave the example of automating your bill pay. And that came about from some books and some seminars that I went to with a financial management expert by the name of David Bach, B-A-C-H, like the composer Bach. And I really encourage you to look at some of his stuff, Smart Couples Finish Rich. He's even got one called The Automatic Millionaire. And perhaps a lot of pastors would dismiss that because of the title, but it's really not about how you become a millionaire automatically, but it's about how you can save little by little and automate your savings account, automate your retirement, even if you're only putting, you know, 50 or 100 bucks a month away, but how over time you can accumulate a large amount of money through this automation. And I told you the story in the longer resource earlier about how bill pay night at my house was always a very stressful time for me and Kelly. So we decided to try to automate as much as possible. And some of you are wondering, well, how does that work so you don't bounce a check and do all of that? Well, you have to read David Bach stuff to figure that out. But we want to build on that and talk about what you can automate and what you should automate when it comes to your life as a minister. And I'll just start with one related to money. I believe that every minister should automate their tithe. And I talk about this in The Debt-Free Pastor. I talk about it in stewardship. It's actually one of the more controversial teachings that we often give, that pastors should be tithers. But we really believe that the foundation of giving, the foundation of stewardship is to tithe. And so if your income is steady, then you want to automate that, whether you're giving 10% or 11% or 21%, whatever it might be. Automate that so that when money comes into your life, it's automatically given back to God. You bring that tithe to God. And I do that because our church has an option called an automated giving option, where I can give the church my bank account and my routing information, and then I tell them on the 1st and the 15th of every month to take a certain amount out. You can also do that through your bank's website. And if you're not using the check pay feature or the bill pay feature, on your bank's website, is a great way to automate and get out of the business of having to write a check and mail it and find a stamp and do all that kind of stuff. So that saves you some time.
Now, I got to tell you, Nelson, I have to be very honest that I was very resistant to this whole thing about automating your tithing. And the reason for that is I know giving is really an act of worship, and it's very much a heart thing. And I thought to just automate it would make it, just kind of, well, automatic, you know, not something I thought about or I engaged in as an act of worship. Now it's all on to, you know, the whole tithing over the internet thing. In fact, what I used to do is, we would gather around my computer, my two kids, my wife, and, we would set it up and we'd take turn pressing the send button, and we'd, you know, send the tithe off to Jesus, and we'd have a little worship service there. And so I thought, you know, wow, if I didn't, you know, if I had it automated, well, it wouldn't be a heart thing like that. But here's the problem is I was supposed to do that every week, and I kept forgetting. And that would really bother me so much because, you know, I'd be in church as a pastor, and the last thing I need to remember is, you know, this envelope or check or whatever. And we would receive the offering, and I would realize I had not tithed. And that just bothered me so much. And I realized, you know, every time I saw the offering being received, if I'd already tithed, I could use that moment to worship. I could teach my children and my family to do that. And so it has been the most freeing thing for me to set up my tithe to be automatic. And then when we receive the offering as a family, you know, we remember and we worship. We thank God for giving us the ability to give. And so I don't know if you're the kind of person that just seems a little wrong to automate your giving, but for me, it has freed me to worship and not be bound. Something you said, Nelson, I'll never forget. You said, I would rather that I forgot that I had obeyed to tithe than I forgot to obey. Or no, you said it made sense. Why don't you say it, Nelson? Because when you said it, it actually made sense. Do you remember that?
Well, I'd rather forget that I obeyed than to forget to obey.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
And if you're wanting more on that, you can see the debt-free pastor resource that we have, or you can take the longer stewardship seminar that we offer, which is available for purchase as a recording as well. And it just gets into more of the theology behind that. And it also talks about how your church can set this up so you can actually help yourself and help your people automate their giving. But then to go beyond that, look at whatever you're forgetting in your life and ask yourself if you can automate it. This is why I loved David Bach's stuff so much. I would forget oftentimes to pay my cable bill. Now, we just have a minimal amount of cable channels, just enough so we can get some good reception in our home in New York. But I would often forget that because it was a small thing. It was just a few dollars. But I would often forget to pay it, and then it would be late, and they would send me a letter, and guys who looked like Roy would come to my house and threaten me if I didn't pay it. And I thought, well, could I just automate that? So I called the cable company. It took me about 5 minutes, and they just set it up so it comes out of my bank account each month. And it's such a low amount, it's not like I'm going to bounce a check for that amount. And then also, I used to hate to reconcile the checkbook. So I automate that by paying all of my checks online using my bank's bill pay feature. I can download that directly into my money management software like Microsoft Money or Quicken or whatever you choose to use. And that took away a frustration. So I'm always asking myself, you know, what's my point of pain? What do I not like to do, and can I automate that? And then I say, what am I forgetting? And then I try to automate that. To switch from money examples to kind of broaden our discussion here, I used to always leave something in hotel rooms. We talked about earlier making plane time productive time, and I don't travel that much, but I travel occasionally to speak at different places. And I would be in a hotel room, and I would forget something. And I would check out of the hotel, I'd get back home, and then I'd have to call the hotel, hey, did you find this or did you find that? Well, I started putting everything that I needed to take with me in the same place. I used to take my wedding ring off in the bathroom before I would get in the shower, and I would put my car keys over on the little table in the room, and I would put my credit card or my wallet somewhere else. Well, I don't do that anymore. Now everything goes right on the top of my television. So if you're ever going to break into my hotel room, you can steal everything just by stealing what's on top of the television. That's where the wedding ring goes, my watch, my wallet, my keys, everything that I need to pack up and take with me that's not going in the suitcase is right there on top of the television. And that's really automated things. I learned that because I would often waste time in the morning looking for my car keys at home. And as silly as it sounds, just putting a little bowl beside the door so that as soon as you come in, you put the car keys there. And that's where they are. They're always in that bowl. And so putting things in the same place every day so that you have them when you need them is a way of automating. And what you're saving is you're saving the time you have to spend looking for something. You're saving the stress of having to go on a search for something when you're in a hurry.
Yeah, and really what we're saying is that if you can automate or even systematize things that you do regularly, then what'll happen is you'll be able to do them more efficiently. Because anything you have to figure out, anything that's new, you're going to waste time trying to get comfortable with, get used to it. You know, you wake up every morning and you say, okay, well, let me figure out where my keys are. Well, if they're always in the same place, then you save all of that time and all of that stress. I mean, I think all of us have had the stress of, you know, being late for work because we couldn't find our keys. And so really examine your life, examine your ministry. And say, what are the things that we want to, that we do regularly, that we could have a specific system for? Now, one of the obvious answers to that question is in the area of, you know, what do we do with the first time guest, someone that God entrusts to us to come to our church for the very first time? We have a resource that goes really through all of the steps of that and the strategy called the Assimilation Seminar. But, you know, we're going to expect a first-time guest every week. Well, shouldn't we have a plan, a specific plan, in how to follow them up? Like, what are we going to do Sunday with the information that they give us? Figure out what is the best way, the most effective way to handle those cards. We have a system at the Journey. I don't even know if you know this, Nelson. When I first came to the Journey, you were out one Sunday, and the system was you take the connection cards that have the first-time gifts, guests, and you put them in a particular tub. Well, I was responsible for them, and I didn't put them in the tub. And we got back to the church, and Monday morning, we couldn't find this entire stack of all the connection cards from the last service. And oh, I was so stressed up. Oh God, all these people are going to go to hell because we didn't follow up on them. And we went back, and thankfully, we found them in a bag in the back of a closet. But all that happened because there was a system to put it in a certain place. You know, what do you do with the cards that first Sunday? And I didn't follow that. And we really could have. We could have lost the opportunity to follow up on people because I hadn't done the automation that we'd set up.
Yeah, and most of our seminars are built around this idea of there are eight systems in the church, and you want to systematize each of those systems. And in many ways, that's this principle of automation. Automating your follow-up when it comes to first-time guests, automating your process when it comes to planning your preaching. And as I say at the beginning of some of the seminars that we have, the word system is like an acrostic. A system can be thought of as anything that, and here's the acrostic, saves you stress, time, energy, and money. Saves you stress, time, energy, and money. And so knowing what you're going to do with the cards every Sunday with your first-time guest, that's going to save you time. It's going to save you stress. It can even save you money if you have to go look for those or have to spend additional money to try to find them or whatever it might be. But it saves you stress, time, energy, and money. The simple act of putting your keys in the same place every day, it saves you stress, time, energy, or money. And that's the whole idea behind automate as much as you can in your life. And it doesn't take the spirit out of it. It doesn't take the fun out of it. It's still highly spiritual to pray over all those first-time guests. It's still a very important time in your life to know that you have less stress on a morning so that you can spend more time with God as you travel into the office or whatever it might be. So this automation doesn't necessarily make something less exciting or more exciting. It's simply a time management tool that allows you to spend your greatest effort on the most important things versus the less important things.
And another great thing about it, Nelson, is it gives you the opportunity, the freedom to be able to try to get better always. Like, because you're not constantly figuring out, oh, what am I going to do next? You can look at what you're going to do next and evaluate and test it and say, is it the most effective? For example, one of the things that we do on a Monday morning, is we send out an email to everyone who is a first-time guest. Well, we know that's the step in the process, but because we knew it, we were able to evaluate it and test it. So we found out that the best time to send an email to a first-time guest in our culture was to send it in the late morning, around 10 or 11. And because we had the system, we were able to test it. We were able to test it in the afternoon or during lunch or whatever. And by testing it, we found it out, hey, this is the most effective time to do it. So once you automate something, you can evaluate each of the steps and find out the best way, the most effective way to do things. And of course, since society changes and things change, you know, the way the system works changes, but it gives you the opportunity to always work on it, always improve it, always make it better.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of other church automation opportunities, and then we'll come back maybe to some more personal ones as we wrap up this bonus session. But I noticed very early on in the life of Journey that there were common questions that I got from people in the church. What do you believe about baptism? Are you really going to allow Roy to stay on the church staff? Or things like that. But baptism is a great one because every time we have a baptism coming up, there's always a group of people in the church that write me. Some have been baptized as an infant. Others were baptized at a young age. Some were baptized by a different method of baptism that we have. And so I would be following up with these, and now other pastors do that as well. And so what I did is I kept all of the emails that I had sent or all of the letters that I sent to people who were asking these same questions. And now instead of having to reinvent the wheel every time I get a question, I'm just able to quickly edit a previous answer. And so over time, I've built an FAQ list of common questions that people in the church are going to ask me. And I simply will go and get that question. I will briefly read over it, make any edits that I need to make to bring it up to speed, and then send it out to the person that's asking the question. And this allows me to answer some pretty deep questions in a pretty fast way. And so instead of having to spend 5-10 minutes every time thinking about the question, then another 30 minutes answering the question, I can just spend 5 or 10 minutes editing a previous question and sending it out. And the key is to have that filed in a place where you can remember it, to have it at hand, and then from time to time to go back and review it to make sure it's still up to date.
And I think that's key too, Nelson, to edit and review it because you're always making it better. Like if you're in a church where you teach a message 3 or 4 or 5 times, you know that by the fifth time it might actually be good. Somebody might actually understand it because you've actually improved it a little each time. And so I guess cut and paste that answer in, but then I look at it. Of course, you look at it to make sure it fits the context of the dialogue you're having, but also to see if you can maybe say it a little clearer. or maybe say it in a less amount of words so it's more impacting. And then, you know, we also talked about, I think it was practice number 26, to use technology, carefully. And this is an area where there is technology that will help you to automate common practices and save you time. I'll give you an example. I'm a user of Outlook. That's what I use to manage my email. And it has something called autocomplete for your email addresses. So what I do is I just type in, if I'm going to email Nelson, instead of, you know, clicking on to and finding Nelson's email, putting it in, I type in N-E, and by the time it gets to E, it finishes it. Nelson, you know, at. And man, I do so many emails every day. In the last year, I bet I saved a week of my life, you know, just letting Outlook complete the email address.
So now you got to be careful with that, in case you have somebody else whose name is Neil, and yeah, you'll do N-E, and then it'll do I-E-L or whatever it is. And it'll send it to Neil, and then you'll say, oh, sorry, Neil, I meant to send that to Nelson. I really don't think you're an idiot, like I was trying to explain. So you have to be careful with these tools. That's why we said use technology carefully.
Indeed, indeed.
But autocomplete is one. I have an one very similar to that. I like the autocomplete function. I also have a program on my computer on a Mac called Text Expander. And who knows if that program will even be around by the time you listen to this resource. But what it allows you to do is it allows you to create abbreviations that then expand to be particular words. For example, one of the things that I have to write commonly in maybe a letter that I'm writing or in an email that I'm sending is the journey mailing address. Well, a mailing address is kind of a long thing to have to type. And so instead of having to do the whole mailing address, what I can do is I created a little code called JADD, and it's for journey address. So whenever I write the word J-A-D-D, which is not a word that you would use in common language, it automatically expands that, and boom, right there on the document, the mailing address appears. And I've done that for credit card numbers. I've done that for little pieces of text that I'm commonly saying, like, God bless you and have a great week, you know, or, you know, love Nelson or whatever it might be, if I'm sending Roy an email, say. And I just find that's really, really important. Or if I'm in something like, if we're doing a special capital campaign at the church, and I remember a couple of years ago we did one called Now is the Time. And I was writing a series of letters and emails, and it seemed like every time I turned around, I was always having to write the Now is the Time special offering. Well, I just created a little abbreviation, N-I-T, and it just automatically expanded that to be Now is the Time. And it's saving seconds. But those seconds add up to minutes, and those minutes add up to hours, and I just love that text expander feature.
And I guess what we're saying here is, you know, examine the things that you do regularly and ask yourself, first of all, is there a way to systematize it so I'm doing it the same way each time? And that allows me then the opportunity to evaluate it, and I can maybe make it tighter, make it faster, make it more effective. And of course, a great benefit of this, Nelson, is if there's a task that you've systematized and, you know, have a series of steps for, it's so much easier for you to effectively delegate that task to someone else, especially if you've gone through the discipline of actually writing it out. Because then all the time that you've invested in making this system really run effectively, you can now give that over to someone else, and then, of course, give them the freedom. I always say, hey, this is how I've found that this works the most efficiently. But once you've mastered this, and it's key that they should master it first, but once they've mastered it, give them the freedom now to make it better as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so just think about areas that you're constantly doing. How can you provide a system for how that's done? How can you have a process for how that's done? And then what are the things that you don't even need to do at all that you can automate now and then hand off to other people so they can do them over and over? And again, just ask yourself, what am I doing the same every week? What am I not remembering to do every week? And what's the pain behind certain activities that I need to try to solve? I want to go back to a couple of personal points here for just a second. And I talk about like some arguments that Kelly and I have had at home over little routine things.
What, you argue with your wife, Nelson?
I know, it's true. As hard as it is to believe, Roy, wow. I am the world's worst at changing the toilet paper when it comes to the end of the roll. Now, so what happened is I'll be in there and I'll use the last of the roll, and it always magically works out that it's just enough for me to finish. And then I won't
change
it.
I'm just so disillusioned, Nelson.
I know, and I'll just leave it there on the roll. And then Kelly will come in and she'll be doing whatever, and then it's like, Nelson, you know, where's the toilet paper or whatever? And, you know, that's not a good feeling for that, and especially, you know, with women and everything. So we developed a system that whenever you go and you replace the toilet paper, you always put a couple of more rolls of toilet paper underneath the counter. And then if it runs out, then your job, even if you don't change it, your job is to at least look under the counter to make sure there's a couple of rolls there. And I want you to know, this has brought great harmony to our life at home. And so now it's like, it's been at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 days since I've been yelled at. No. It's probably been 4 or 5 years since I've been yelled at home. And I use this in a nice, fun way with Kelly. But that I've been yelled at home because I forgot to change the toilet paper.
Nelson, I mean, I can't imagine how many marriages have been saved by that point alone.
People right now are thinking this whole resource was worth it just for that one tip.
Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely going to come up with a toilet paper system.
But you know what I do also? And this is weird, I have to tell you. I told people earlier that I was a little weird when it comes to time management. Whenever you go buy something, why not buy two of them?
Yeah.
That's kind of the principle. You know, if you're going to the store to buy deodorant, why not buy two things of deodorant? If you have a favorite shampoo, buy two things of your favorite shampoo. If you're going to get detergent, get two of the detergents so that you always have a backup. And that's just a way to do it. Now, you can go to excess in that. You know, you forget that you have another one, so you buy two more. But better to have extra than to run out, especially when we're talking about the small dollar items that just create a pain. Like if you run out of soap, that creates a problem as part of that. Then you have to take those little pieces of soap and try to push them together.
I know,
and get that.
And you lose time with that, trying to get all the soap together, yeah.
Well, I heard Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, talking one time, and he said that he actually buys two of everything that he likes. And so if he buys a shirt that he likes, he will actually then go back to the store and get a second shirt that he likes. And I haven't done that completely, but I've done that with some minor stuff, like a pair of walking shoes or tennis shoes or running shoes. If I buy a pair of tennis shoes that I like, I've been wearing them for about a month, and I'm like, these are really good tennis shoes. I will immediately go online and order another pair of shoes. Or if I find a particular brand of clothes that I like, and I really like this style, and I liked it in red, then I might go buy it in blue. Or the same thing with blue jeans, if I found a pair that really fit. And that's just a real time management saver, because you've got the stuff that you need there. You don't have to constantly try on new stuff or have to find new stuff. Now, you know, you want to stay in fashion and all of that, but it's kind of a nice tip.
I guess I shouldn't buy 20 pairs of jeans then.
Well, if you buy at the Sam's Club, you know, you can get the 20 pair of jeans for the $7.99. And so maybe you do. But, you know, like my books, for example, that I have, when people buy my books, they should automatically just buy 20 copies.
I know, that's what I've
done. Yeah, and like the resources we have at Church Leader Insights, don't just buy one, buy 15 or 20 copies of it, because you never know when you might need another one or when you want to bless a friend.
Or, you know, when your desk needs a little something stuck under one corner. So
this is how people
rock back and forth.
Some of our CDs. Yeah. But the principle here of automating your life, of saving time by thinking ahead and by planning ahead so that you save minutes and that you save hours, I think it's a very powerful principle.
Yeah, I know it has in my life, Nelson. And I just encourage you, you know, even just when you finish this resource, which is, I know you thought it will never end, but it is just about to end, actually. And when it's over, why don't you take a minute and try to find something? Find one thing in your life that you can automate and see if it doesn't save you time and stress.